It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now back to Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen, two guys who still argue about whether or not Mr. Ed could really talk.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, as promised, we're going to switch the topic of our show to a little different topic than what we've been talking about. We're going to deal with the issue of the time of the year. We've enjoyed our outdoors so much this summer at your recommendation. Everyone went through and put in their pond or water garden, but now it's time to think about closing it up. And so we've got with us not just you as our expert on the fish, but we also have Brian Babias, who is the annual and tropical plant person at Van Atta's Greenhouse in Hazlet. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on there. Brian, when we're thinking about it's time to close up, what are some of the issues that people need to think about in terms of caring for the plants that they've worked all spring and summer in developing and make sure that they make it through the winter?
That's right. That's exactly right. We had all summer to enjoy them. What I first typically recommend to folks is right around early September is to go ahead and lay off your fertilizer. I tend to stop feeding pond plants right around that first week of September. Because the last thing we want to do is give them a big shot of nitrogen when they're about to go to bed for the winter time. So I tend to back off the feeding entirely right around September. You know, and as the frost inevitably comes, the foliage typically dies back naturally, I tend to start to trim that top foliage back. Something like water lotus, water lilies, once that natural browning has occurred, I'll cut those back just a few inches to the top of the pot. Sink those plants down to the deepest portion of your pond. The exceptions being something like cattails and grasses. Those I tend to wait until spring to cut back because there's still some winter interest in those types of plants. Now, of course, your tropical plants, say like your tropical water lilies, your taros, umbrella grasses, alocasias, papyrus, those are tropicals. They're clearly not going to winter over. If folks are looking to winter those over, they're going to have to do that indoors. Keeping in mind, you're going to need a fair amount of light to do that. You know, there's right. Full sun plants outdoors in Florida. So trying to mimic that indoors in Michigan in the wintertime can be a tough road to hoe sometimes.
Yeah, so you need to kind of look for the south window and as much exposure as you can get them.
Definitely. And quite honestly, a lot of folks will just treat those as annuals. They'll just remove them from their pond,
sure.
Put them in a compost pile or something.
The biggest notorious one for that, because it grows so greatly and then everybody's attached to it, but then they have to get rid of it, would be the water hyacinths, which rarely would I find anybody ever able to keep those through the winter.
You know, that's a great point, Rick. That's definitely my number one pond plant question, because they get those wonderful little blooms on them. They multiply like crazy throughout the spring and
right.
summer, and that's the first question folks ask is, can I just bring these in my house and save them?
Yeah.
And, typically it's very, very difficult to do that. I would never, ever dissuade anyone from trying. It's a great learning experience. However, it's just something that's generally not worth it, if only because hyacinths are relatively inexpensive and they do multiply so quickly, you're better off really just starting from
right.
scratch in the spring.
Right. The electricity costs over the winter, if you're going to have to supplement light, which you probably will, mm-hmm. will cost more than the initial investment in water hyacinths.
Yep, absolutely. Whereas you look at something like, say, lotus or lilies, that's something that has value to it. And you
absolutely.
Can have year after year after year. By properly storing them in the bottom of your pond over the wintertime.
And how deep does your pond have to be in order for those to actually survive?
Well, I like to recommend at least 32 inches.
Sure.
On an average winter. Of course, we can have mild winters, we can have severe ones. But, if you're 32 inches or deeper, 99% of the time you're going to wind up successfully overwintering plants.
That's the one thing that we probably should bring up a little bit, and that too often somebody that's relatively new to the hobby will have success during a mild winter,
right?
Two or three years, or maybe even six, and then they come in one nice spring day and they're saying, why has everything failed? And
yeah.
It's because 24 inches seemed to be okay for a while, and then all of a sudden they get hit once and it's kind of like flooding, I think.
You're exactly right, and that's one thing I always have to reiterate to my customers is every year is different. And it's something that challenges us as gardeners to be able to, of course, we never know what the weather's going to be, but we have to prepare for that. And sometimes, on a long enough timeline, everything it expires at some point. But every now and then, we'll get a severe winter. We won't have a lot of snowpack. And something, even the hardiest of things, sometimes just won't make it.
Now, Brian, in terms of supplementing, if they did have the idea of keeping things over the winter, because of some of the changes in the law, I've got to imagine there's a lot of lighting that's available in Lansing without a lot of usage because of the changes in the marijuana laws that have taken place. So is it possible for people to simulate the outdoor lighting that's possible? And reasonably, what kind of equipment or gear would they need to do that?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. Some of the more popular annual-type pond plants or aquatic plants people like to use are the the real showy alocasias and calocasias, those elephant ear taros with the the enormous sets of leaves that are sometimes 2 feet across. Certainly those types are you can overwinter. The grasses, some of your papyrus, those can be a little more difficult. But again, if you want to give it a shot, what I would suggest is go and buy. We're going to need some supplemental lighting because the sun's so low in the sky. We have such a short length of day in the wintertime here. Bringing those guys indoors, they're not going to thrive like they did outdoors. And it's important sometimes to keep expectations in check as well. Our goal is just to get them through the winter. They're never going to look like they did in midsummer. But certainly some supplemental full-spectrum lighting. Again, I would not recommend fertilizing throughout the winter this time of year. Again, we're introducing nitrogen at that point in the year with such a short length of day is chemically forcing the plant to do something it ordinarily wouldn't do. But a shallow tray that would hold water will keep just an inch or so of water in there to keep it just slightly moist. And of course, most important, we're going to want to scout for insect issues because, outdoors we have beneficials that go after those things. Indoors in the wintertime with our house closed up, we're going to want to scout on a regular basis because, a couple little spider mites, if left unchecked, can really wreak havoc on not just your pond plants you're overwintering, but maybe some of your house plants you're overwintering as well.
Interesting. And Brian, in terms of where people can get information, one of the things that I found intriguing about Van Attas is I saw that you had educational programs on Wednesday. No wonder Rick Pruse loves you.
Yeah.
Because bottom line is education is always such an important part of what they do at Pruse. Is this the kind of thing that you will be talking about in upcoming weeks for people in case they want one-on-one time to really begin to understand what they need to do to care for what they've done all summer?
Yeah, definitely. No, we've been running weekly seminars on Wednesday evenings starting at 6 p.m. for about the last 3-4 years. And we get a number of a full spectrum of folks, everyone from master gardeners to people who are new into gardening and pond plants. And we vary those topics. A couple weeks ago, I did do a seminar on pond plants and getting folks thinking about getting them ready for winter. At this time of year, it becomes seasonal, and we try and vary our topics based on the seasonality of things. We do like to offer, whether it's handouts, question and answers, so we try and squeeze as much as we can into that 45 minutes, and usually it goes a little bit longer with individual questions, which is great. It gets us on a one-on-one basis with some of our customers and helps educate them as well. But you can always check our website at vanattas.com, where we do post exactly what seminars are coming up every night Wednesday, and we run these right through wintertime. And it's something that gives us as staff a little more variety and interaction with our customers.
Right. One thing I'd like to do is turn the conversation while we have what limited time we do on a radio show is, preparing that pond. I would say that there's one common problem that people have going into the winter, and that's just having a dirty pond.
We might want
to talk about that. Yeah. They always talk about spring cleaning, but fall cleaning can be just equally as important. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that, Brian, because I know we have our techniques that we use and basically involves, for the most part, not necessarily breaking down the pond and cleaning it, but at least using some bacteria enzymes that we carry on the shelf that break that stuff down. And obviously, there's the getting ready for the fall leaves. So maybe you could talk just a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Rick, because it's crucial. It fits into the ounce of prevention, pound of cure philosophy. And, so essentially, all those, leaves falling from the trees, insects, algae, fish waste, all that material breaks down over the wintertime. And, of course, natural decomposition, it extracts oxygen from the water, which fish aren't too pleased about. But it also produces hydrogen sulfide, which can be toxic as well. So the more of that material we can remove prior to wintertime and the pond freezing over, the better. The better it's going to look in the springtime. No one wants to see a dirty, yucky pond as the ice melts. We can prevent a lot of that by manually or physically removing as much of that debris as possible. Installing something as simple as a pond net in the fall, just as a preventative so that those leaves and debris don't fall in, clog up your skimmer box, and then maybe we're potentially looking at pump hardware problems, which can be very expensive sometimes. I also suggest, too, sometimes a partial water change, maybe 20 to 30% partial water change as well, and some removing some of that sediment from the bottom. But fall cleanout is going to make our job much, much easier when it comes to the spring cleanout.
Brian, we're going to take a break right here and bring you back on the other side. And we're going to continue the conversation. And Rick, we're going to get into the fish too and figure out how to take care of those ponds during the winter. Right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Dig if you will the picture. Covers me.